Lord bless us. Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this afternoon's worship service with singing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
congregation, the scripture for this afternoon's worship service is from Psalm 34. Psalm 34. But first, we will make confession of our faith with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith, with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 34. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So far the reading of God's precious word. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence in this afternoon hour. Almighty, eternal, faithful, merciful and gracious, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art the same. Thou changest not. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. May that be a comfort unto us. Many things change in this life, but also we change. Our feelings change, and thy people also change. Lord, thou knowest them. Thou knowest their cares, their feelings, in their heart in this afternoon. Thou knowest each person here. Lord, we beg thee then for thy presence among us. Come, Lord, with the power of thy Holy Spirit. Rend the heavens and come down. Give, Lord, that thou would blow mightily this afternoon here among us, that thou would work mightily, saving sinners, that sinners may be born again, that they may be pricked in the heart, and that they may cry out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that they cannot have no more rest, that they seek thee, Lord, with their whole heart. It's thy work, Lord, by nature, as we read in thy word, there is none that understandeth, there is none good, no, not one, there is none that seeketh after thee. O Lord, we beg thee then, wilt thou come and draw unto thyself, that there would be that seeking thee with the whole heart, that urgency, that need, that necessity, that I cannot live without God, that I need a mediator, that I need a Savior for my soul, that I need to be reconciled, that I am a sinner, I am lost, I am ungodly. And Lord, wilt thou reveal that way of salvation that is through thy Son, work mightily, irresistibly, Lord. Oh, we confess our eyes are so blind to see him. Our hearts are so full of enmity. And Lord, we pray then take away all the weapons of resistance. Thou art that mighty God. And give us a broken heart and a contrite spirit, which is the work of thee, the Almighty God. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that thou wilt work in a people, that thou wilt take away the hearts of stone and give a heart of flesh, that thou would put thy spirit in them, that thou would put thy law in their heart, and that thou wilt cause them to walk after thee. O Lord, work among them, among us in this afternoon and in this congregation, but also throughout the whole world, Lord, on thy day. It is a day that thou hast called us to delight in thee. Oh, may that be then this day, that we delight in thee, that we may be given by thy grace to forget about self and to be looking unto thee, thou who art that faithful, that almighty, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth. Lord, we pray then and beg upon thy own promise where thou hast said in thy word that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in the midst, be in our midst in this afternoon, Lord. Help thy servant. He's a son of man. He is a sinner. And may he be an instrument in thy hands for thy kingdom, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Oh, may there be many here who'll be sighing and crying unto thee, Lord, pour forth, Lord, help, Lord, do wonders for thy great name's sake. Lord, we ask thee to remember all those who are yet on that broad way that leadeth to destruction, all those who have a heart of stone, a hard heart. O Lord, wilt thou then convert them, give them that grace that they may be born again today, and that sinner, that angels may rejoice in heaven over sinners that are brought to repentance. But Lord, remember also thy dear people. Oh, wilt thou care for them, those who do not dare say they are one of thine, who fear because of all their sin and all their iniquity, who do not love thee as they should. They feel it, Lord. Who sin against thee continually as they should not, and they fear, how can I ever be a child of God? Oh, may they hear it this afternoon through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. May they have their hearts explained, and that they may know that they belong unto thee, and that they may be comforted by thee. Lord, we ask then that thou would look upon us in mercy through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. We sin everything away, also as a congregation. Lord, there's no rights in us. We are unworthy. But we ask thee, because of him who is at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased, Lord, come, work among us. And so we lay this whole congregation before thee, the older ones, the younger ones, the children, the boys and girls, the youth, the teenagers, the young adults, the older ones, Lord. We all need the same thing. We all have the same name, sinner, and we need a Savior. Lord, we ask that thou would then care for those who are mourning, comfort them. Remember the sick and afflicted. Bless the means they may use. And Lord, sanctify these callings of death and sickness unto our hearts. Lord, that we may seek that one thing needful, that we may seek to be reconciled with Thee before it is forever too late. O Lord, prepare us for that moment that Thou would call us from this life to stand before Thee to give an account. And O teach us, Lord, that all our righteousnesses are filthy rags and we cannot stand before Thee with anything of self, but that we need that one whom Thou hast sent into this world to seek and save lost sinners, that we need His righteousness and that we need His blood, that we may be pure and holy in Thy sight. Lord, we pray, remember the consistory, the elders and the deacons. Help them, Lord. Thou hast called them, and faithful is He that calleth, who will also do it. Oh, give them what they stand in need of as they are called to lead this flock. Give him much of Thy grace, Lord, much of Thy Spirit, much wisdom from above, and may they be like Solomon, who was asked what he would request of Thee, and he requested wisdom, because it is Thy people, and he was called to lead them. O Lord, wilt Thou give them wisdom, grace, and Thy Spirit to lead this flock in compassion and love, but also firmly in the paths of Thy truth. Lord, remember also Thy servant whom Thou hast called here, Reverend and Hollander. Lord, help him, uphold him. Give him Thy grace, Lord. Give him Thy Spirit day by day, and that he may open Thy word, and that Thou would teach him, and that he may preach the wonders of Thy grace unto this flock that Thou hast entrusted unto his care. Help him, Lord. Thou knowest all his needs, physically, spiritually. Care for him and make him a blessing today where he is. Lord, we ask that Thou would send forth more laborers into the vineyard, but Thou thrust them forward, men who have Thy grace and who are called by Thee and who must say, woe am I if I preach not the gospel. Lord, open doors, open the way, and that in this year there may be new students to enter into the theological school. Help also the theological instructors. Give them all that they stand in need of, but also the student. Care for him, Lord, as he goes before the congregation to speak an edifying word. Help him. Be on his right and on his left, and may he experience the faithfulness of his caller, of him who has sent him to go forth. Lord, we lay all these needs before Thee. Care for the government of our country. Oh, give them a new heart. Give them to seek Thy word, to seek Thy will, and to follow Thee, the King of the Church. Have mercy upon us, Lord, because as a nation, sin abounds, iniquity abounds, and it abounds before Thee, a holy and a just God, who will by no means clear the guilty. Oh, give a repentance, give a returning national unto Thee. Lord, we pray then, give us a good hour in Thy house. Come, Lord, open Thy word for our hearts, and our hearts for Thy word, and open the mouth of Thy servant. We pray and ask these things in the forgiveness of all our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue with singing from Psalter 403, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. The Lord our God builds up his church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the broken hearted ones. Psalter 403, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Dear congregation, my dear friends, is there a fight in your life? Can you confess with Paul, who said in Romans 7, verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do"? My friend, do you love the Lord? And do you desire to serve Him and to obey Him? Then maybe as you reflect upon this past week, the past months, maybe even on the past year, you are sad, you're discouraged because of how you have spent your time, of things you have said and you should not have said, things that you have done and you should not have done. Maybe you reacted in a certain situation and now you regret it. Why? Because it's sin against God. Maybe you are sitting here this afternoon discouraged, sad. Why? Because as you reflect upon your life and upon your behavior, you see that you are sinful against God and you are sorrowful and discouraged because you do not love God as you should. You do not trust Him as you should. You do not obey Him as you should. You do not serve Him as you should. Are you discouraged and sad because of your sin and because of your unbelief? And maybe you think, how can I ever be a child of God? How can that ever be possible with me, with such a sinner? Maybe you think, if you would love the Lord perfectly, if you would obey Him perfectly, if you were a child of God, you would be this way, that you would love Him perfectly, that you would have perfect faith and perfect love. Is it true that God's children have a perfect love, that they have perfect faith, that they do not sin? No, that's not true. And this afternoon we will consider a child of God, a man that was born after God's own heart, as we read in the Word of God. Who is he? David. Who is David? What kind of a heart does David have? What kind of a heart did David have? What do we read about him? What kind of a heart do all of God's children have? There's a difference between those who have no grace and those who have grace. They have a different heart. It's a different type of a heart. My prayer this afternoon, that the meditation of God's Word may be encouragement to those poor and needy sinners who maybe do not dare confess that they have God's grace, and yet may they see it through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that their situation, their life may be explained, and that they may be comforted, that they may be encouraged. And all those who do not have a new heart, may you hear it. And may that arrow be in your heart, and that you may be pricked, and that you may go home crying out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." God's children receive a new heart. There's love for God. They desire to serve Him. They desire to obey Him. And yet their flesh remains sinful, corrupt, and polluted. And so, this afternoon, we will meditate on Psalm 34, verse 18, where we read from the precious Word of God, Psalm 34, verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So far, God's Word. The theme this afternoon is a broken and a contrite heart, with four short thoughts. First, the context of this psalm. Second, the natural heart is not broken. Third, what is a broken heart and a contrite spirit? And lastly, what is the promise? What is the comfort for those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit? And so, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The context, a natural heart, a broken heart, and a promise. My friends, congregation, we know from Psalm 34 that it is a psalm of David, that David wrote this psalm after his sinful behavior in the land of the Philistines, how he had behaved so sinful before that king Abimelech. What led David to behave so sinful? What happened in David's life? Well, we know from the history of 1 Samuel 21 that Saul was pursuing David like a wild animal. He wanted to kill David. He was doing his utmost to put an end to the life of David. He hated David. And David had fled many times from the hand of Saul. But this time he escaped into the land of the enemy. He left the land of Israel and went into the land of the Philistines. He went into one of the cities called Gath. Was he safe there? What happened there? Well, the people, the Philistines, saw David and they recognized him. He's the war hero. He's that hero of Israel. This man is an Israelite. This is that war hero. And they spoke about him and they brought him to the king, King Achish. It's another name for Abimelech. Now David was very afraid. He had escaped the hand of Saul, but now he's in the land of the enemies. He's before the king Achish. Now David was very afraid. Now this is the end of his life. And what did he do, young people? Do we read that he folded his hands, that he bowed his knees, and that he cried to God? We don't read that. What did he do? What do we read in 1 Samuel 21, verse 13? And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let a spittle fall down upon his beard. David acted as if he was insane. David, a child of God. David, a man after God's own heart. David, how can you do this? How can you act as if you are insane? Where is your God, David? And what happened? What was the reaction of the king? What do we read in verse 14 and 15 of the same chapter? Lo, you see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? What was the result? What happened? David was cast out. He was expelled. David, where will you go? Where did David go after this? We read from 1 Samuel 22 that we know that David went to the cave of Adullam. And now imagine David entering into that cave, sitting down maybe, and starting to reflect. To reflect upon his actions of the past days or possibly weeks. David reflected on what he had just done. That he, a child of God, who had received the grace and mercy of God, that he had took things into his own hands, he fled into the land of the enemy, and then he even acted as a madman. I would like to insert something here. Do you ever take time to reflect upon your past behavior? For example, on a Saturday evening, do you sit down and take some time to meditate, congregation, my friend? Do you take time upon reflecting upon your behavior? It's a good thing to do. May it bring you to repentance and to an urgency that you need a Savior. You need to be reconciled to God for all your past sins. Not only for the first time, but children of God, again and again, we pollute, we sin. Some think that David wrote this psalm when he was in this cave, meditating upon his sinful behavior. It was sinful. David acted in unbelief. And in this psalm, we see the spirit of David. His spirit is sorrowful because of sin. His heart is broken. In this history, in this story, in this beautiful psalm, we have a little, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have a little glimpse into a heart of a child of God, and we see what kind of a heart he has. What kind of a heart does David have? What do we read in verse 18? A broken and a contrite heart. This is what no boy, no girl, no teenager, no adult, no person has. What kind of a heart are you born with? What kind of a heart was I born with? What kind of a heart does every human being on this entire planet have by nature? Well, this brings us to our second thought. The natural heart is not broken. What kind of a heart is man born with? You see that little baby? What kind of a heart does that little tiny baby have? What do we read? What does the Lord say about you and I? The Lord says that by nature we have a heart of stone. And that is why you need a new heart. What do we read in Ezekiel 36, verse 26? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I believe there's farmers here. What is the hardest material, congregation, farmers? What is the hardest material that you fear to hit in your fields with your machinery? In Chilliwack, we had shale. And if you hit it with a mower, it would shatter. It would do some damage, but not too bad. But if you had a stone and you hit that with your mower or other machinery, you would destroy it. Because stone is hard. You can hit it with a hammer, it doesn't dint. You can put it in the fire and it doesn't melt. The Lord says that by nature, you and I have a heart of stone. Did God create man this way? Is that how God created man? God created man and he said, it is very good. Did he create a man with a stony heart? No. No, he didn't. By our fall in Adam, by our rebellion, we gave ourselves a heart of stone. A heart of stone is an illustration of our spiritual deadness, of our spiritual state. What do we read in Zechariah 7, verse 12? Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. An adamant stone. It actually speaks of a diamond. A diamond. What do you cut concrete with? A diamond saw. Our hearts are as hard as diamond. That's how hard our hearts are by nature. A sinner hears the law of God as you do every Sunday morning here in Fort McLeod. And by nature, we do not tremble because of our guilt against a holy God. A sinner with a heart of stone, a heart of diamond, hears the precious gospel. He hears the gospel, but he does not have any joy in the precious good news of the salvation of God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit for sinners. Why? Because by nature our hearts are as hard as stone. Why? Is it so hard? Because there's no life in it. In a rock there is no life. It's dead. When we read in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's how he found you, child of God. That's how the Lord found you when he sought you and he saved you and he renewed you and he made you alive. Your heart was as hard as stone. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. Why is the heart by nature so hard? Because it is under the power of the God of this world. It is under the power of Satan and blinded by him. What do we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, what kind of a heart do you have? What kind of a heart do I have? Do you still have a heart of stone? Is it still dead? Dead in sins and trespasses? Is that you, a member of the church, maybe even a faithful attender, maybe baptized with the name of a triune God on your forehead, and yet your heart is dead? My friend, there's only one who can change that, and that is God. He has the power to change your heart. And you need a new heart. You need a heart that's broken. You need a heart of flesh. Because if you continue in this way, when you die, you shall utterly perish. Listen to what the Lord says in Romans 2 verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. My friend, you need a new heart. And I pray that every one of your hearts would be broken, and that you would be broken, that you'd be united in peace and unity and love under one faith, one Lord, one Baptist, one congregation, united in love. Who? Who was the only one who was born with a heart of flesh, with a perfect heart? You could open his heart so to see, and you saw all pureness. Who was that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one who was born with a perfect, pure heart of flesh. He loved his Father with an infinite love. He delighted to glorify him, to serve him, to live for him, for his honor, for his glory, every single moment of his life. He loved his neighbor perfectly. He loved sinners from eternity, and he came and he willingly laid down his life for rebellious, hard-hearted, unworthy sinners. Jesus Christ was the only one who was born with a perfect heart. His delight was to do the will of God, as we read in Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Sinner, you need a new heart. You need Jesus Christ. You need his righteousness to cover you, and you need his sin to wash you from all your sins. Well, maybe the question arises in your heart and in your mind. What is a broken heart? What is a contrite spirit? This leads us to our third thought. What is a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Well, we read in the Word of God in various places of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. For example, David also wrote this after his sin of adultery and murder in Psalm 51, verse 7. He wrote, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And there's other verses that speak of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. But in Psalm 34, verse 18, we read a parallelism. Two things that speak the same thing. Two phrases. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And the second, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Two phrases would express the same thing. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's expressing the same thing. For example, children, you can pass a house and you can say that house is very old. But you could also say that house is ancient. It means the same thing. And in this text, these two phrases, these two parallelism, is explaining the same heart. It means the same thing. Two different phrases with the same meaning. So what do they mean? What does it mean to have a broken heart? What does it mean to have a contrite spirit? In Hebrew, it literally means to be crushed. It means to be crushed. They refer to something which is broken on the inside. A person who has a broken heart, it's a broken in the inside. It's interior. It's not in his head and in his mind. No, it's in the heart. Humble, meek, is another way to explain this person. A person with is humble, who's meek, as it's translated in other places in the Bible. Someone who does not have high thoughts of himself anymore. Someone who's humble. Someone who's meek. In life, also in Tarija, in the Spanish culture, you meet people who are timid, who are shy. They are naturally have a characteristic of low self-esteem. They don't have confidence. I think we also meet those people here. They don't have high self-esteem, low confidence. But that is not what David is speaking about. It's not a natural characteristic. No, it's a spiritual characteristic. It's not about a low self-esteem or low confidence. No, it's inside. It's in the heart. It's in their very being. It's in their hearts. David is describing a man or a woman, a boy or a girl with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's an inner sadness. It's an inner pain. It's an inner grief. It's someone like David who reflects upon his past life. And he sees he does not measure up to the holy standard of God. He feels the weight of all his sin. He's crushed because of all his guilt, because of all his sin against God. But there's more. It's not only sin against God. It's a sin against a good-doing God. It's sin against so much love. It's sin against so much mercy. It's sin against so much grace and goodness of God. The love of God was poured in their hearts. And that broke the hearts. They feel they do not serve God as they should. They do not love Him as they should. They do not obey Him as they should. And they sin against Him as they should not. They love God. And they hate sin, and yet they sin again and again and again. Is that you? Is that you? Or do you have no grief against sin? Nothing. A broken and a contrite heart, a contrite spirit. What breaks the heart of a sinner? What breaks the heart? Does the law break their heart? The hammering and the thundering of the law, does that break their heart? What happened to the Israelites when they stood before Mount Sinai with all that majesty and glory? They trembled, but they wanted to flee away from the presence of God. It didn't break their heart. What breaks the heart? The love of God. His mercy, His grace, that's what breaks the heart. When God, by grace, gives new life, and our eyes are open to see who He is, that God of heaven and earth. And they begin to thirst for Him as that heart thirsteth for God as water brooks. So my heart thirsteth for Thee, O God. And yet they sin against Him. And again, when they learn more of their sin and they learn more of the mercy and the grace of God, but especially when God reveals unto them the mercy and grace which is in His Son, Jesus Christ, this breaks the hearts. David, in Psalm 51, is reflecting on what he has done to God, how sinful he has been. completely sinful, and he caused God's name to be blasphemed among the nations. But he also reflects about the mercy of God, of the goodness of God, of the grace of God to him, the very one who sinned against God. And this broke his heart. David in the cave of Adullam is reflecting not only what he has done, but he's also reflecting on who God is for exactly such wretched sinners as he is. Have you ever tasted something of the mercy and of the grace of God for you? For you. A sinner with a broken heart desires the forgiveness of sins. He wants restoration. He wants communion with God. We see this in Psalm 51, verse 9. Blot out all my iniquities. 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. They feel the distance because of their sin, but they want that communion again. They want the joy, the taste of it in their heart and in their soul, what they have maybe tasted in the past. They want to taste it again of that communion, of the joy of salvation. Have you ever tasted something of that joy? That God loves you through his Son, Jesus Christ. That breaks the heart, my friend. Nothing else. My friend, do you have a broken heart? Or is your heart still as hard as stone, children? Do you have a broken heart? And because of your broken heart, you want to obey your parents as unto the Lord. Students, you're going to school next week. Do you have a broken heart? Do you want to obey your teacher, the principals, the staff, because you have a broken heart and you love the Lord and you see them, that they were placed over you, that they are a hand to teach you and to instruct you. And now I want to come a little closer. Congregation, members of the Fort McLeod congregation, what kind of a heart do you have? Do you have a hard heart? Do you love those men sitting there in that bench? No, you don't have to worship them, but do you love them? Do you love your minister? Or is your heart hard and you're full of anger and you're resisting their authority that God has given to guide this flock according to what they believe as they bow their knees for your good? Don't fight. Don't fight. I pray that your heart is broken, that you may be together. That you may be together in love. You know what we want in Cherea? You know what we pray for? We pray for a body. We want more sinners together, more of God's people together, to worship together, to be in unity. And how is it in North America? Are we fighting? Are we allowing silly, stupid things to break things apart? I pray that your heart would be broken by the love, by the mercy, and by the grace of God, that you may be together as a family in love and in unity. A sinner with a broken heart desires to obey the ordinances of God. As children, as parents, students, teachers, congregation, as office bearers. But we all are under the authority of the King of the Church. Look up unto him. What breaks the heart? Love. The gospel of Jesus Christ. May I give you an example this afternoon? Peter. Remember Peter? What did Peter do? What did he do three times? Three times while his good shepherd was laying down his life for him. He denied him. He said, I do not know the man. And he even said it with an oath. And then what happened? The Lord Jesus turned and looked on him. What kind of eyes do you think he saw? What do you think Peter saw in the eyes of his dear shepherd, of his dear master? I believe he saw sadness, but he also saw love. Why, Peter? Why, Peter? Peter, I'm laying my life down for thee. And you say you do not know me? Peter, is that really true? Do you not know me? Peter, do you not love me? All that look of love broke his heart. And he went out and he wept bitterly. The precious gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, that breaks the heart of a sinner as no other thing can ever break a heart. Do you have a broken heart? That you, who walked according to your own will for how many years? 5, 10, 20, 30, 50, 60. But the Lord sought you. The Lord found you. The Lord made you alive. The Lord delivered you from the power of sin, of Satan in the world. The Lord taught you who you were. The Lord revealed unto you that way of salvation. And that you then see that you sinned not only against the law and all the goodness of God, but also against the gospel. You sinned also against the very love of God that breaks the heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do you have a broken heart? Or is your heart still a heart of stone? There's only one place that I may direct you to this afternoon that your heart would be broken. Look to the cross. No look into your own heart. No look into the law. No looking to Mount Sinai. There's only one place that I may direct your look, and that is a look to the cross. Oh, to see that love of the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. To see that, my friend, that breaks the heart. The Lord Jesus said in John 10, verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He laid his life down willingly. He gave it as no other man ever could lay down his life. I saw that with my father in the last few days of his life. Every breath, another breath, slower and slower. But I thought, he cannot give his life up. He cannot. I saw it so clearly. At God's time, he would take his life. But Jesus Christ, on the cross we read that he willingly, he gave his life. And for who? He gave his life for unworthy sinners, for sinners who are taught who they are and whose hearts are broken and whose heart's spirit is contrite. When a man, by God's grace, or when a woman, or a boy or girl is renewed, and by God's grace repent of their sin, and by God's grace believe in Jesus Christ, then sin has an extra abhorrent taste. Why? Because then they see that they did not only sin against God, but they also sinned against such love. Because then they see that their sin caused the good shepherd to lay down his life, that he had to suffer, that he had to die. It caused Jesus Christ to suffer, to bleed, to die. The sinner's heart is broken because he sins against so much love. And a sinner with a broken heart desires to praise God with their life, with their words, and with everything they do, as we see also in this psalm, because David says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And as this David is penning this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he wants to encourage everyone who has a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he wants to encourage them and say, the Lord heard me, and the Lord will hear you, brokenhearted sinner. The Lord helped me, and he will help you. The Lord saved me, and he will save you, sinner. You with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, look up. Look unto him. Put all your trust in him. Put all your expectation in him and your hope in him. Congregation, every one of our hearts should be broken. Yes. Every one of our hearts should be broken when we think of how good God has been unto you and to me. There's thousands who are under the darkness of horrible religions, no hope. There's thousands who do not know the Word of God, who do not have the Word of God. There's thousands who have never heard the precious gospel as you have heard so many times. Your heart should be broken. Think of this precious text, and may it break your heart today, this afternoon. Sinner, Ezekiel 33, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Consider your sinfulness, your hard-heartedness, and yet Jesus Christ invites. Yes, he invites. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What love, what patience, what mercy, what grace. I pray that your heart may be broken. But maybe you say, I don't want a broken heart. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be needy. I want to live my life. Oh, my friend, listen. There's such precious promises to those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But before we go to our last thought, let us first sing, and may it be with heart and mouth together. Psalter 140, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within, cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. Psalter 140, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
a broken heart, and a contrite spirit. And now our last thought, the comfort and the promise to those who have a broken heart. We read in verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Two words. The Lord is nigh and saveth. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. The Lord is not only nigh to them, but the Lord will also save them. What a comfort. What promise. These are two promises, two comforts for those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The first promise is that the Lord is nigh. That's the opposite of being far away. The Lord is nigh unto them. That means to be close. That means to be near, children. How can your mother comfort you? Can your mother comfort you from being far away? No. It's when your mother is close, when she takes you on her lap, when she wipes away your tears and speaks comfortably to you, when she is nigh. The Lord is nigh unto those that have a broken heart. Maybe because of your sins, you feel like the publican. You feel that God is so far away, you stand afar off as the publican. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Far off implies he feels there's a distance. He feels unworthy, but he also feels such a distance between his soul and God. Is that you this afternoon? You feel again because of your sin, there's such a distance. But listen, what causes a repentant sinner to feel that God is afar off and that makes him feel so unworthy brings the Lord nigh to him. They expect the opposite. They expect the Lord would not look at them again, that the Lord is far off, but the Lord is nigh unto them. He's close by. He's nigh. He wants to comfort them. He wants to speak to their soul and say, "I am thy salvation." He's not far off. He's nigh. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Why are their hearts broken? By God's grace. Why are their hearts broken? Because they sinned against a good-doing God. The Lord is nigh them. It's His work. It's His work in their hearts. And He can never, ever forsake the work of His own hands in the heart of those poor and needy sinners. He sees it. He sees your heart. He sees all your needs. But what an opposite. What an opposite. What a contrast is also in this text. No, He is not nigh unto you, you hard-hearted, unrepentant sinner. He's afar off from you. From you who do not repent. From you who only resist. For you who also may be in sin, unrepentant, resisting the ordinances or whatever sin it is against God, the Lord is afar off. What do we read in verse 16 in Psalm 34? "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." Is that you? I hope this comes home today. I hope it comes home this afternoon. That the Lord, His face is against you. You that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The sword is out. The axe is at the tree. Any moment, the Lord could cut you down. But on the contrary, We read in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. In verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Maybe you're thinking, but I do not dare say I'm righteous. I'm a sinner. Well, we need to understand it in this text. The evil and the righteous are a contrast. The evil are those who only have a heart of stone, and the righteous are those who have a new heart, who are born again, who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Sinner, the Lord does not say he's nigh unto those who have perfect faith. The Lord does not say he is nigh unto those who have perfect love. The Lord does not say he is nigh unto those who serve me and obey me perfectly. No, because then the Lord could not be nigh to any sinner, because there is none perfect. God's people are not perfect. They see they are sin, and they become a greater and a greater sinner in themselves. The only one who is perfect on this earth is Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, I am nigh. I am nigh unto them with a broken heart. Listen to his promises in Isaiah. Isaiah 57, verse 15. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 61, verse 1, we read of that wonderful prophecy of Jesus Christ. We read that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, unto the humble, unto the brokenhearted ones. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And one more, Isaiah 66, verse 2. But to this man will I look. To what man? Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. What a comfort. What a promise. They expect the opposite. But that is not true. The Lord is nigh unto such ones. It's his work. They are his sheep. They are his lambs. He took away the heart of stone and gave them a heart of flesh. It's his grace. And the Lord promises in his word, Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Why is the Lord nigh unto those who have a broken heart? It's not only because it is his grace, but because broken hearts in his sight honors and glorifies him more than any sacrifice you can do. That's what David wrote in Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What a wonder of God's grace. He is nigh to those who have a broken heart. And the second promise, the second comfort. He's not only nigh, but he also says, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh to them, and he will save them. He will save you, poor sinner. He will deliver you. The word save in Hebrew means to deliver from the greatest ruin and destruction, and to bring to the greatest good. To bring from sin and condemnation, and to bring to the greatest good. What is the greatest good? What is the greatest good? It's God. He will save them from sin, from condemnation, and he will bring them to himself. He will bring them to forever be at home in heaven with him. He will save them from flesh, from sin, from Satan, from the world, and bring them unto himself, unto God, to be forever with him. My friend, you who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, your sins are many. My sins are many, more than we could ever know, more than we can ever count. What a wonder we read in God's Word, Romans 5, verse 20. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That you sin, that you have sinned, and that you continually sin against God breaks your heart. Your sin caused Jesus Christ to suffer and to die. All your iniquities cause your spirit to be contrite, but all your sins and all your iniquities were laid on the Lamb of God. God the Father, as we read in Isaiah 53, laid them all upon his dear Son, and he paid for them. He paid with his life. He paid with his blood. He gave everything to redeem you from all your sin. What a wonder we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. He can be nigh unto such sinners because Jesus Christ on the cross, he experienced for the first time that great separation. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ, as that Lamb of God, took all the sin upon himself, all the sin of all those broken hearts, of all those contrite sinners, took it all upon himself, and he took it all away, and they will all be brought nigh. They will come nigh unto him. He will save them and bring them home. Those ones, all those by God's grace who receive a broken heart, they will be brought nigh, they will be saved, and they will forever be around the throne of the Lamb, singing praises, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. My friend, will you be there? Will you be there? Will I be there? Or will you be with your hard heart, unbroken, forever cast away, forever in that place of wrath, not nigh, not saved, but forever and forever lost? Amen. Almighty, eternal, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, what a wonder that we may read in thy word, and as we have meditated in this afternoon, that thou art nigh and saveth those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And Lord, it is thy work of thy grace, because no sinner has a broken heart and a contrite spirit without thy grace. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, break hearts, give contrite spirits, break the hearts of thy children again and again, and that they may be at thy feet, looking up unto thee. And Lord, comfort us with thy own precious word, that thou art nigh. May we experience it through the word and the spirit. And may thy children be looking to that day that they will be forever delivered, delivered from all sin, delivered from the world, delivered from Satan, and delivered from sinful self forever, to be nigh unto thee, to be forever with thee. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy precious word, for thy help. Take away whatever was not according to thy word and to thy will, blot it out. blot out all our sins in preaching and in listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 427, stanzas 1 and 2. 427, stanzas 1 and 2. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy excellent in fullness endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness and say, exalt his majesty. His mercy excellent in fullness endureth to eternity. Psalter 427, stanzas 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Bless you.